Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Happy 2023, everybody. This is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man. Greetings, Twin Cities. Twin Cities? Twin Cities. Millennium. and Paragon cities. We're broadcasting live from the Paragon Radio News Satellite at a high altitude of 0.0167 feet above sea level. We took an extra week off. I'm dealing with an inner ear infection. It's feeling a little bit better this week. No big deal. Anyway, let's get the show started. Let's get the new year going. We're a few weeks into it already. Along with me is my co-host. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. We just call him Mad Viking.
I have a dream that the black man and white man will hold hands together and sing the song of the Holy Stone, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
You know what Morgan Freeman said about this?
What is
you
that?
Know how you end racism? Well, he says you end racism, you'll get Morgan Freeman. You don't call him a black man, you just call him a man. Morgan Freeman looks at a white man. You don't call him a white man, you just call him a man. And you end racism right there. That's it.
Simple.
Wise man, then, Morgan Freeman. That's it. That's it. You don't add a color in front of the word man or woman or child. He goes, and there you go. It ends racism right there.
I just finished broadcasting the I Have a Dream speech on Dawn Radio. New stream, dawnradio.dj-fritz.com. There you go.
Every time you say that, I just picture the scene from Django Unchained. This is my horse, Fritz. He takes his hat off and the horse head bows his head. This is our new stream, Fritz.
Well, Fritz is from Texas, so he might take that a compliment.
That's true. This is our new stream, Fritz. It was a very good movie. Every time there's a Tarantino movie on, I go, ooh, Tarantino movie. I'm like, I'm off to a flame. I got to watch it. And that was a very good movie. And I don't know if you know this. If you watch the end credits to A Million Ways to Die in the West, the Seth MacFarlane Western comedy, mm-hmm. and at the end of it, Jamie Foxx shows up dressed as a cowboy, you know, dressed in Western. Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be his Django character.
Okay.
That's supposed to be him playing Django at the end of it. Because that came out afterwards. So that's supposed to be him showing up, you know. Also in the movie, Christopher Lloyd is in the stable with the DeLorean as Doc before Marty gets there. If you remember that scene, so.
Oh, yeah.
But just saying, Jane. And they are supposed to be working on a movie because there was a comic book, Django versus Zorro, or Django and Zorro meet up and they team up together. So supposedly, they've been working on the script. I think it's supposed to be Jamie Foxx and Antonio Banderas. I don't know whatever happened to it, but.
We'll see. Anyway,
we'll see.
Before we get into the main stuff here, we do have to take care of something here. For those who've listened to Dawn Radio for one time, you may recognize the name DJ Joe Daddy, G-E-O-D-A-D-D-Y. He was a favorite, so he started the audio books way back when, and then of course, Mordecai picked it up, and then Tastes Like Chicken picked it up, and we wonder who's going to be picking it up next. But there is something that I should say this, and this is coming from Laura Muse, and I will read it as I see it on the page. Hi, my name is Laura.
I thought I had the link. Hold on a minute. I thought I had the link. Sorry about that.
I'll read while you search. Hi, my name is Laura Muse, and my dad is George Hobson. On New Year's Day in the early morning hours, my dad was hit by a drunk driver on his way home from work. The jaws of life were required to remove him from his vehicle. A passenger in his car later passed away from her injuries. The injuries sustained were a broken leg and a broken pelvis. George had to get surgery on his left leg and the left side of his pelvis and will have to do physical therapy, something you're familiar with, Pogo.
Yes.
His home is a third-story apartment, and we're in search of an apartment on the ground floor. This is a very uncertain time in his life, but we're trying to help him with his living costs. George is so grateful to everyone in his life that has reached out to him as he recovers. Many people have asked my siblings, and I have some sort of fund that's available, which is why she is creating this. If you're able, it will be greatly appreciated to have any sort of assistance with the cost of living while George is recovering from his injury. The good news at the moment, they have raised $2,855. Pogo Man is
that should be 65. I donated $10 before we went on air. That should be 65.
Hold on, let me refresh. Yep, there it is. $2,865. Pogo Man is now posting in Champions. And
I'm doing
City
of Heroes
Coalition.
And the Dawn Radio Chat.
And put it in local as well, because I do believe I told Laura Muse, and I think that's her right in front of us. If that is give a wave. We will wait.
Okay.
Because we know there is a delay.
I have done so. I hope that's a complete link.
Yep.
Hello.
That's her. Hello.
Hello. She's listening. Let me see if I get the...
like I said, now it's 2,865. I'm going to check just in case. Yeah. You know, because we've kind of done this before with Pogo Man's, and things can change in a heartbeat.
That's right.
And I think this year with your thing, you got off lucky because you knew Panamonica was going like, what can I do? Oh, she was the beautiful nightmare. Okay.
Oh, she's in the chat. Okay. I was wondering who that was. Okay. Yes, she's in the chat. She is in the chat. Is she still there? Yep, she's there. Hello. I mean, I said hello. Did I say hello? Yes, I said hello and welcome to the chat room. Okay. Yes, I did say hello to the chat room. Okay. Yep, she's there. No one else is there but me and her.
Mm-hmm. And on Champions, we do have Alan Clarence, Mr. Num Num. We do have Silver Egret. We don't know who else is listening until they speak up.
Well, I didn't realize when I set the show up for today, it would be it was the holiday until afterwards, and I looked at the TV, and there was a commercial, an advertisement for Martin Luther King. I was like, ah, crap. But we didn't do a show last week, like I said. So I said, well, if I don't do a show now, everybody's going to think, oh, here he goes. He's not going to show up till spring thaw, which is the first day of spring. So. So I said, let's do a show tonight.
And you know, if rain hurts, you'll be yelling in our ears going like, do this. We know this.
Well, yeah. So.
All right, and
so
he is now going to be a member of Paragon Dawn.
Congratulations. Woo! Oh, I'm on. There you go. Let me tell you, Art.
But, yeah, at the moment, Rain is MIA yet again. And people are already placing bets when she'll come back. But, like I said, any donation will help. You know, whether it's a big money, no whammy, or even $1, anything will help. Like I said, Joe Daddy was a DJ, a good man, a good friend, and... And Pogo Man has to call back. So hopefully you guys are still listening to me in the process. Let's see. Hold on. Okay, so you got the 10. All right, there we go.
Oh, okay. I don't know how much people. All of a sudden I heard. I'm like, okay, I know that's not a soundboard sound effect. I don't know what happened. But hey, Happy New Year to us. Let's start off with a technical difficulty. Why not? We haven't had one
it's
in ages.
Tradition.
Happy 2023 to us. Whee! I don't know. I don't know where we left off or where they may heard. I don't know.
Well, I was talking about Joe Daddy, how he's a good man. He was when he was on Dawn Radio, he was always fun to listen to, especially when he created
that.
The Kaz and Grass special.
Oh, I missed that one. But I mean, did they hear you talking about that? I guess so, because it said we were still on air. Sometimes when I get disconnected, it's like they can't hear anything. Just making sure they heard you, as long as they heard one of us this whole time. All right. Okay.
Yep, but like I said, any donation will help. If we get over 8,000, better.
These days, that's the greatest nation in the world, donation.
I mean, I already know Mordecai made a donation.
Yes.
Don't know who else of our bunch did.
Captain Wazza, live radio. Yeah, live radio at twice. Yep. There you go, flying without a net. But go on, proceed. Proceed, sir.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Like I said, if we can get over 8,000, even better.
Yes, yes. Anything over the goal is always sweet.
But remember, this is winter. And who knows what will happen weather-wise.
That's true. Yes, right now we're experiencing a crazy heat wave in New York. I don't know why. You know, like some of my family says, why, wait until February, wait until March when we hit, like, snow. I remember as a kid the one year, April 1st, we had a blizzard.
Oh, yeah.
It was like March. It was like normal weather. April 1st, boom, out of nowhere. We had like 3 feet of snow. Everyone, huh?
I remember because I was going like, I'm not coming into work today. Why not? The only proof I have that I actually have an automobile, I see the radio antenna. After that, I see kids sliding down my car.
I don't know about you. Right, you're upstate New York. This is Long Island, got hit with a blizzard. And the next day, it was like April fooled us. That was the thing. That was the headline. But it was like, we got up. It was like, yeah, you guys aren't going to school today. It's like, why? Come on. It's like, yeah, stop and go. And they open the front door like, holy crap. And we put News 12 on. News 12 Long Island is the local news channel. The weather, it was like, and the new, I remember all the out, you know, the local, the ones they sent out to do the thing, the, you know, the local weather, like, guys, kids are not being fooled today. This is actual, like, holy crap. And I think the one year, the funny thing was, it was a Friday. So we got an extra day off. And it snowed. We couldn't even go outside. It was snowing so hard, we couldn't even go outside until Saturday morning to shovel snow. That's how hard it was. It was crazy.
All right. So, yes, if you can, make a donation, let's help Joe Daddy.
Yes.
And it was like when I saw the announcement, I was planning to do it to talk to you about it last week, but you know, you said nope, got the ear infection. I was like, okay, we'll wait one more week, and after this, I will talk about it on my show. I cannot speak about any of the other DJs. I can suggest it. I'm sure someone has already done it. But
No. You know, it's funny. You mentioned Extra Life before, and I went, oh, I'm supposed to get the gold medal again for raising over $1,000. Because they said, sometime in January, you'll get an email. And I was like, wait a minute. It's the middle of January. Let me check my email. Because they have to confirm your address and all that. I'm going to check. They haven't sent it yet.
What?
So, 2 years in a row.
Right.
So after we're done talking about this, we have much to discuss. We have much to discuss activity-wise. Mm-hmm. So,
well, let's get the quick one out of the way. Updates.
Yes.
Ship of Heroes. Next.
Yeah, surprisingly, I thought City of Titans was going to do like their like State of the Union address, and nothing yet. So nothing. I got nothing. Nothing like the movies.
And here's the president of City of Titans. My mind's gone blank.
Of the 54 states we have, I'm going to let my president take over.
Because there is an actual auto-tune mix of Biden, and it's actually called My Mind's Gone Blank. So this is not a jab politically. I'm going off the song.
Right. And everything I just said, he has really said recently. 54 states, and he called Kamala Harris the president.
Well, technically, you know, when he had his operation under the 25th Amendment, if you're under the operation, the vice president does become president. So for 43 minutes, she was interim.
Yes, but he was standing there. Yes, but he was standing there fine and cognizant as he could be. So, I say cognizant as he can be, because I don't know, you know, and I don't want to get into it, investigations. I'm not going to get into it.
I was like, I'm the Republican, and I acknowledge that, yes, for 43 minutes, Kamala Harris was the interim president. I want you to point that out.
Yeah, it was just crazy. It was just wow. So I just so we have events to prepare for this alert. We have events we have to get set up for this month. Of course, the Fast and the Furious monthly event is happening this month. Just got to pick a date and when and where. How does Saturday afternoons, how are we fitting for Saturday afternoons?
As long as it's before 6, we're good.
Before 6? All right, yeah. I was thinking Saturday afternoon, like 2-ish.
Yeah.
Because then, and then we were going to do our D&D thing, so I don't know when we're going to fit that in.
Well, now Tastes Like Chicken is back.
Hold on a minute. And I'm being summoned, and there's some kind of emergency. I'll be right back. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Just keep talking about some stuff.
All
right. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll pick up where he left off here. We are going to start an on-air D&D game. He wants to do Sundays. And now, there is a bit of a donut between Tastes Like Chicken, who ends at 3 p.m. Eastern, and Fritz, who's... Excuse me. Starts off Texas Sunday at 7. So there is that donut there. So it's just a matter of getting together with people and get things going. And of course, the planning of DawnCon 8. I've already had the Ocho, Crazy Eights has the nickname. We will see here. But, and the return of March Madness Mayhem, where you can, from now till February 28th, pick 64 songs that I have on my list, and also, since I do the auto music, it's loaded onto the auto music, and we vote via NCAA tourney-style brackets. To get one song to be finally deleted. So, yeah, that's already started. I already got 4 songs. And, I started this on Wednesday. Which songs were they now? I got to refresh my memory here. They were Hanky Panky by Madonna, Wet Dream by Kip Adada, Smash the Mirror with Anne Margaret, Oh, I am waiting for Grouse of Snorf to hear that one. What? And Margaret's on the... and Insane Clown Posse jump around. So, yeah. Who knows what will happen? Four songs down, 60 to go. But yeah, we will see what happens on that here. So I'm hoping once I start this, Pogoman will jump on in after attempt before like two or three reboots. DC is once again, you know, when you think DC, you think the big three, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman. They are now going to make, I guess, a new trinity, and the person filling, start the first one they pick to fill the shoes is Dick Grayson Nightwing. Now, like I said, they tried to do that before, where Dick Grayson was Batman, and he picked a whole new Justice League. And then there was that reboot, that dreaded Flashpoint. But now they're going to do it again, and they're bringing in Nightwing, which makes it all sense considering, you know, he was trained by Batman. He got so many tips from Superman and Wonder Woman. It's kind of like, all right, who are you going to pick? Are you kidding me? There's not much choice after this one.
Okay, who are you picking? What are you picking? What's
okay.
Your
goal for? I'm talking about DC.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm talking DC news.
Oh, okay.
And it's bounced all over the news. So this is not a case of a spoiler, you know, unless you have,
okay.
you just want to read the comic book. They are going to once again make a new trinity, mm-hmm. and the first one they have picked is Nightwing,
uh-huh.
Dick Grayson.
Oh,
now,
all right.
If you remember before, yeah, if
right.
you remember before, they tried to, mm-hmm. He was at the time being wearing the Batsuit, and he formed
right.
a new Justice League, and then Flashpoint kicked in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now they seem to be going to be giving him the chase. You know, he's the first one to take the mantle of whatever the Trinity is going to be. Now, who the other two
well,
fill the Trinity, I don't know who.
Didn't they just kill off the Justice League or some ridiculous thing?
Already from Batman, there is no Justice League. I'm thinking, you know, the Titans just got a boost big time.
Right, right. So I'm thinking... I'm 4 months behind. I still have to go pick up stuff from 4 months. So I'm thinking, I'm just going to guess speculatively. I don't know who's alive or Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to keep in the same vein of things? All right. So Nightwing's replacing Batman. Superman's son, who's got the superpowers.
John Kent.
And isn't there Wonder Girl or Supergirl?
Well, there is a Wonder Girl, but there's also Donna Troy.
Oh, okay, Donna Troy.
Batgirl, and there is Starfire, which they're trying to figure out, is it going to be Batgirl or Starfire that's going to make the new power couple? And from
that's right, because he's with both of them, I heard it one recently in the past year. He's been fooling around with both of them, so I think if he's him, he doesn't want either one of them in this trinity. He's trying to keep both of them as far away from each other as possible. He doesn't want either one of them in the trinity. I don't know what happened with that whole thing. And I heard about this, I was like, all right, Grayson, good on you, man. You got both of them in your pocket, huh? And those pockets are on, like, each hip. You know, the farthest pockets of your utility belt as possible. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, good on you, man. You This is why he's the anti-Bruce Wayne. Because Bruce just had one once in a while, and he's got that's not Barbara Gordon.
Also, Batman, you know, you could say he was Frank Sinatra. You know, people respected him, but people feared him. Nightwing.
Right. No. Nightwing is the friendly. Nightwing is the friendly Batman. What I mean? He's the one who gets along with everybody. He's like the Dean Martin of the Rat Pack.
I'm having a hard time picturing Nightwing going, when the moon hits her, I like a big pizza pie. As a morning.
You know what I mean?
He's going to walk in, doing Jerry Lewis. That's a Murray.
No. He just walks in. Hey, everybody, what's happening? Everybody walks over to him. You know. He just walked. You know. I think even Superman said that to Nightwing one time. You know, he goes. Excuse me. He goes, you're different than Batman. You actually go to, because he would go to people. Mm-hmm. You know, Batman would just like isolate himself, and he would just like, hey, I need help. Or, hey, Batman would go like,
I knew that.
Yeah, something like that. He's like, look, man, I'm in way over my head on this one. Or, you know, I could come up with a plan. Well, the whole thing with Batman is that he knew that. They explain that. He has super level intelligence now because of all the nth metal he's been, you know, he's had for all these years. So I don't know if he's been snorting it or, you know, on the side or he's had it locked. No, he's had it locked up in the Batcave. And apparently all the time it's been near him, it gave him super level intelligence.
Not to mention sitting on the Mobius chair.
That was before the Mobius chair, though. He had it. So,
well, I mean, that didn't hurt.
Right, that didn't hurt. Right. That didn't hurt.
Remember, what's Joker's real name? What do you mean there's three Jokers?
Right, and I actually have all the issues for that, the three Joker thing, right. I am so far behind on my DC. I mean, I have I think I have all the Batmans from, like, the Rebirth.
Hello,
I'm only on
like girl. She's back. All right, but yeah. So, like I said, we know Nightwing, definite.
I don't know about John Kent.
I don't know about John Kent. I would love to personally. I would love to see them put
maybe
Power Girl.
I was just gonna say that. maybe Power Girl.
I mean, they're
gonna
the
put
most,
Kryptonian.
You want to talk about underappreciated?
Yeah, she just like the guy. Oh, by the way, in our break, I saw Black Adam. I watched it on my laptop. This is what I didn't like, though. I got to watch it on my big screen TV. The volume on it, like half the shit I couldn't hear.
Are we talking bad recording, or too many Michael Bay explosions?
No, it was like I don't know if it was a bad recording on Disney, but it was like half the lines. I'm like, huh? What?
Yeah,
and I had the volume maxed out. And I thought
that's when you hit the subtitles.
And I'm surprised. Usually Disney Plus does the subtitles for me, and they weren't on.
Oh, geez.
What was that?
I said, oh, geez.
Yeah, usually it's on. I'm like, oh, great. The one time it's not on, I can't hear half the lines. I'm sitting there going, huh? What? Ooh, huh? What? I'm sitting there having a couple of Guinness. Yeah, and it came out the day after Christmas, the 26th. Mm-hmm. Or I think the day, or Christmas Eve it came out. That's right. I didn't get to watch it until the 26th. I'm sitting a couple of Guinness. I got some cheese and crackers. Made myself a cheese and cracker plate. I'm going to have a good old time watching. I'm like, huh? Ooh, what? Like, did I have too much to drink? Only had two Guinness. Yep. Wait, Guinness never does me wrong like that. Only two. Come on now. Wait a minute.
But like I said, if they're going to bring someone in, I would personally like to see Power Girl. She is can write her well. I want to see someone do, you know, what she is. Now, they said, you know, now. Go ahead.
She's supposed to be as powerful as Superman, but no one ever writes her that way. They write her almost comically. Because, like, she has that hole in, you know, like, you can see the cleavage. And because of that, oh, let's make jokes about that every issue. It's like, Christ, just...
All right, so if you want to, avoiding the boob window, we are talking someone who has business sense, owns her own business. That means she is rich.
Yes. But not only that, she's just as powerful, like I said, as Superman. And it's like, come on, man.
And if you need the badass, she can't provide that. This was proven back in the 90s. So you have Nightwing, we go like, look, you can either talk to me or you can talk to her. Now, I would prefer you could talk. You don't want to listen. I don't know what to do. You go ahead, Kara. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm looking her up on Wikipedia. I'm trying to look up her powers. So.
Her somewhat immunity is organic stuff. She does have a bit of a kryptonite thing, but there is organic.
Right.
Because there's been a couple of times she got hit by a piece of wood and brought her down.
Here we go. All right. I'm going to read this as per Wikipedia. Okay. As the biological cousin of Superman, Power Girl exhibits all the classic Kryptonian powers. Super strength, flight, super speed, invulnerability, X-ray, telescopic, microscopic, and heat vision, freeze breath, and super hearing. Over the years, various writers have given Power Girl's Kryptonian power differing levels, reflecting the lower powers of the Earth II Superman Kal-El. For example, Power Girl can fly through space, but has to breathe. So before she leaves the planet, she must take a deep breath and hold it for several hours until she needs a new oxygen source. Power Girl needs to sleep, or she will experience disorientation due to fatigue. However, as recently shown in Brightest Day, she now draws her superpowers from yellow sunlight, just like Superman. The reason for this change has not yet been explained. Since she is from an alternative universe, pre-crisis Earth 2, kryptonite has no effect on her, but she is still vulnerable to magic. Okay. As Karen Starr, she is an accomplished businesswoman, like you said, and is regarded by Mr. Terrific as a first-rate scientist. Even though Power Girl is from an alternative universe, her biology is still similar to Superman's. As one of a handful of characters who survived the crisis on Infinite Earths, DC editorial was initially uncertain how to portray the character and attempted to portray Power Girl with a non-Kryptonian origin for a number of years. Power Girl's abilities have fluctuated since 1986. For some time, Power Girl believed she was an Atlantean. Mm-hmm. At one point, Power Girl possessed telekinesis. At another, she was vulnerable to attacks by certain natural elements, like you said, for example, wooden weapons. After sustaining several injuries from a magic attack, Power Girl retained only a degree of super strength, speed, and durability. However, she later recovered her ability to fly, and writers have gradually restored her superpowers.
As for the third one,
mm-hmm.
I want Wally West. Hmm. If there was anyone that could do the Wonder Woman, the soul of the Trinity, it's Wally West.
Because believe it, he is the soul of the DC Universe, and he is truly, they've said this, the fastest man alive. Not Barry Allen. Wally West is actually the fastest speedster.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all you have to do is look how he handles villains versus how Barry Allen. I mean, Rose Gallery, they'll beat up Barry Allen. They'll talk.
Right.
To uh, they'll t- talked to Wally West.
Right. But when they did Rebirth, DC Rebirth, what was the catalyst?
Rebirth? It was Wally West.
Return to Wally. Right. And all of a sudden they go, oh, my God, how could we have forgotten him? And as soon as they acknowledge him, boom, that kickstarted the Rebirth.
Oh, how many times have you heard me complain? Where the hell is Wally? Are Wally West?
Yeah,
that's his poser.
Yeah,
yeah, I will say poser.
Yeah, and sure enough,
Wallace
here comes DC
West.
Rebirth. Right, and here comes DC Rebirth, and boom, that was part of the kickstart for the Rebirth. There you go. Without him, you don't have the Rebirth. So, oh, and then all of a sudden, they saw him. Oh my God, I remember. We still don't have a JSA though. I mean, except in Black Adam and the new JSA in Stargirl, which ended. I still have to watch this season, but. Not the same thing.
Nope. Don't mind me, I was sending Solar Girl the invite to the Dawn Radio Discord.
And who, you know, it's just a shame that they did not do the continuity between the TV shows and the movies.
But yeah, like I said, it just has to... I say, if it's going to be anyone, there it is.
Yep. So we have Nightwing, Wally West, and Power Girl. Yeah.
Because they're now making Donna Troy Power Girl's temper back in the 90s. I'm going like, that's not Donna Troy.
Solar Girl is looking for the Dawn Radio link.
For the radio?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not on. Hold on, let me get. Hold on a second. Let me get her.
If you're still listening, if you hit
she's in the
group list.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not put it up. I'll fix that. Hold on, settings.
Hold on.
It's the message of the day. All right. Hold on. We can fix that.
That's the Dawn Radio. That's for Dawn Radio. This show isn't on Dawn Radio. Maybe that's why she's having trouble listening.
She should.
Is she listening to the show?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is she listening to the show? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the show's not on Dawn. Oh, excuse me. Oh, goodness gracious.
All right, but now it's, you know, the Dawn Radio part.
Well, I don't know where she is. Wait, she's not? Okay, hold on.
She's out kicking stuff.
Okay. So maybe you can go into the chat room and give it to her. Because I don't have it right now. Okay, so this is what I want to talk about. So Saturday, we're going to do Fast and the Furious. We have to be done by 6, you said?
Yes, on Saturday, yeah.
And what's the Sunday schedule like?
12 to 3, tastes like chicken. 7 p.m., the start of Texas Sunday.
Okay, because this is what I'm trying to find a day for us to do D&D also. Is there, and there's no free nights, right? Because Friday night, what do we have going on? Oh, Friday night's Bunny Night. Ooh, what am I thinking? Wednesday night's Bunny Night. Thursday night's Metal Thursday. Tuesday night, Coconut Louis French. Do I have the name right? Hello? Matt?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Matt?
At this time. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Monday night is us.
Right.
Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, so it'd have to be like Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So basically Saturday before 6. We'd have to be done by 6.
Yes, on Saturday.
Okay. So I'm trying, well, what is your schedule like on Saturdays?
I'm home around 12:30, 1 o'clock.
I was going to say, maybe, okay, because I'm trying to think for D&D. Obviously, we have to be done by 6. So I like to at least get a good 4 hours in.
Solar Girl, try that.
So we'd have to start by 2 at the latest.
Around there, yeah.
Maybe 1:30 to 6?
We'll see. As of now, I think it's me, you, and
Alto.
Alto.
And we had somebody else who was going to play a kobold. I forget who that was. I know, I gotta check Skype.
All right, and I am also starting planning DawnCon 8. I've already had 2 suggestions.
Yes.
DawnCon the Ocho. That was you,
yes.
Coco. And
yes.
DawnCon Crazy Eights.
Yes.
But we are going to bring it down to 4 days.
Yes.
Because we started great, and by the time we got to the main day, it was
Well, and I'm going to bring – also, I noticed a lot of shows during the week, they mentioned that they were DawnCon 8, but the music wasn't DawnCon related at all. It was just their normal show. And I was like – you know, that was my thing. It was like, if you're going to play music, it should be DawnCon related. You know what I mean? Like, all the music should be, like... You know what I mean?
We're looking at Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of that time period.
Right.
If there isn't going to be a pre-show, it'll be my usual Wednesday show.
Right. I don't know how Metal Thursday is going to pan out for, like,
they always
I don't know.
Through.
Like, don't...
They have always come through.
Right.
Like,
right.
I know
think
early.
Play, I think they
just
like,
played
you
metal.
Know what? Right. Like, or metal related to, like, DawnCon, which you can do, because nowadays it's like.
Yeah.
You know what I bought last Christmas? During Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
I went onto Kirby Crackle's website. They had a special discount. I have all their CDs.
Ah.
And I forgot all about it. I was like, wait, because I had surgery a couple weeks later. I was like, wait a minute. And I was in there cleaning. I'm like, shit, I have all their CDs. I just don't have time to listen to them all. So I was like, holy shit. I gotta find time to listen to them.
Oh. Before we get to the tomb, yeah, there was one other big story that's been going around, and once again, it hit the news, so this is not the spoiler. Talk of the new Velma series on HBO Max.
Oh,
with
I
Mindy
have a bigger
Kaling,
story.
Yeah, with Mindy Kaling being Velma. It is getting panned. Now, yeah, anyone, you know, that's a Scooby-Doo fan, yeah, panning it. But that is even happening. It's basically all sides. Because this is not Scooby-Doo. This is the Mindy Kaling show, the short version.
Yeah, I've heard that it's not getting great reviews at all. But I have a bigger story. I have
a
bigger story. Now, I'm surprised you didn't hear about this, since
I
mentioned
D&D
earlier.
Oh, yeah, I did hear this one.
And I'm surprised because it's been all over the internet. Okay, folks, for those who don't know, in December, it got leaked. Because, you know, Hasbro owns Wizards of the Coast now. It's Hasbro slash Wizards of the Coast. Yes. You know where I'm going with this.
Now,
one of the great things about D&D that helped bring it to be the number one tabletop role-playing game, not Critical Role, although it helped Critical Role, because of what I'm about to bring up. Back when they brought up the D20 system, it's called OGL, Open Gaming License. And I thought, even though I hated third edition, I never played it because my group broke up and I have a lot of shitty role players near me. Sorry. Anyway, if you read the Open Gaming License, and this I thought was the most brilliant fucking thing they could have done. You could take our gaming system. You could publish whatever the fuck you want to. I'm paraphrasing. As long as you put our logo, the D20 system, on the back of your book or anywhere on the front back of the book, right?
Right.
You can publish what you want and make whatever money you want. You don't have to pay us a thing. I was like, what?
Yeah. Greyhawk, Forgotten Realms, the Frisk Warden.
Right. You got Pathfinder. You got the D20 Modern. You got Star Wars, the role-playing game. You got Critical Role, the number one web series. You know, how Matt Mercer goes, we're a bunch of geeky, nerdy voice actors playing D&D. Look, they're making millions of dollars off. I don't know if they're making millions, but they got to be. I hate to tell you something. Sometimes when I watch an animated series, I hear a voice. I'm like, that sounds like, I look like, son of a bitch, it's that person. it's like the 7 or 8 of them. And now there's a 9th one. He comes on once in a while. So, yeah, it's like, you know, but they're cool. You know what I mean? It's just like, holy shit, you know? So here's the thing. The original OGL 1.0 said this gaming license cannot be rescinded. If another one comes out, this overrides all. This cannot be taken back. Come this past December, somebody leaked OGL 1.1.
Ooh, yeah.
Here we go, folks. Oh, it's been a shitstorm. OGL 1.1 says the following. For starters, basically, there are two main points, because a few main points of this one. If you use our product, you must report any money you make off our gaming license to us. What? If you make more than $750,000 off our product, you must pay us 20 to 25% of the money you make off our gaming license, including Kickstarter must report money you make. Okay, here's the Kickstarter. Any Kickstarter you do, you automatically have to kick back to them 20 to 25% of the money you make, regardless. Okay, now the problem with that is and a lot of people are pissed. When they set a fund, that's to pay the employees to make the product. That 20 to 25% is paying a few of the employees. Okay, that means right there, because Hasbro wants to be the greedy little bitches, they have to fire some people. Okay, that $750,000 over the top is ridiculous. So Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast, for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, didn't say shit. They finally released an FAQ. Oh, here's the other thing. This is the real kick in the dick, folks. If you have a product that uses our open gaming license, speaking of Hasbro, we can now claim it as ours. It's still yours. We could take that property, create whatever we want to with your product, and we don't have to give you one penny of profit. Oh, when I read this, I read the OGL 1.1. When I read this, I was like, holy. Now, I know something about IP law, right? When I read this, I went, right off the bat, I'm thinking, Matt Mercer's having a fucking conniption. I just pictured, you know, the Critical Role castle exploding its towers. You know, that's the one. But I'm thinking, not even them, not even Pathfinder, not even all the streamers online. Because they're the ones, too, including the streaming. I'm not sure how the streaming works, okay? Because this is for products put out. I think streaming-wise, they're safe. Because I'm thinking, what if we start streaming now, right? And we start getting a popularity. We have to do this. Like, what a fucking time we pick to start playing D&D now.
Well, the thing is, the key words are to make money.
Right,
we got
right.
To make
we're doing
money
it for free.
First.
But, right. We're not even close to it. I don't even think we are. But the whole thing is, it doesn't pertain to the internet, first of all. Second of all, and this is what everybody's saying, the whole thing about you keeping the intellectual property, but no, then you don't keep the rights to it. They get the rights to it. Let's say I make a module for you guys, right? And we decide to publish it under the 1.1 agreement. It's theirs. They can do whatever they want to. They can make action figures based on our characters. We don't see a fucking dime of it.
That's right.
It.
You can go to Walmart and there'll be little plushies going, Crayon Cartel.
And the only way we get them, we have to pay for them now. That's right. They could be a cute little Alto as his dwarf berserker, dwarf Bard he's making. He's got to pay for one. And they'll come home and go, Pogo, why do I have to pay for this? Dude, we got fucked in the ass sideways. So, but you know what everybody's saying? All the big name people are gathering their forces, gathering their attorneys, and getting ready to sue the shit out of Hasbro. And Wizards of the Coast, WOTC is Wizards of the Coast, by the way. Because you know why? Because under the 1.0 agreement, the 1.0 OGL overrides all this 1.1 bullshit. Based on the wording of the 1.0 agreement, the 1.0 OGL overrides anything that will come to existence is perpetual. 1.0 is perpetual, meaning it's there forever. It's been there since 2000, 2001. It's been there for 22 years. And they're trying to force everybody to sign it. They're trying to sugarcoat it, and they're trying to get people to sign it. And people who don't understand this are trying to sign it. And first they gave everybody like a week to sign it. Now they're giving people 6 months.
To a year.
No, they have up to 6 months to sign it now.
Oh.
But originally you had a week to sign it. And the business savvy people are going to their attorneys saying, are you fucking kidding me? See, when being a writer in the comic book thing, I know about IP because that's the first thing I was reading this book about becoming a writer in the writing business. And it said, learn some IP law. Learn the jargon. And I'm reading this thing going, oh, fuck that shit. I'm reading this thing and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So now, Pathfinder, Paizo, the creator of Pathfinder, all these people that have been using D20 system, They are now working on their own gaming systems. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, and guess what? This thing called D&D Beyond that I just joined like 3 months ago, there was a mass exodus from it as a boycott.
Oh.
So much so, because you have to pay like at least $2.99 a month to use it, it shut down their servers.
Oh, boy.
Yes. It's like, oh, you want us to do this as a protest, so. And then this girl, this bubbly girl reporter, did her best interpretation. Saturday night, I read it Sunday morning, and she was reading this thing, and I'm laughing, going, bitch, shut the fuck up. You don't know. She's reading it word for word, giving her interpretation. Meanwhile, Saturday night, I'm reading this thing, and two other people are doing their online interpretation exactly how I did it. It's like they're contradicting themselves. This isn't what it says. Oh, you get to keep everything. Everything's fine now. No, it isn't, you stupid bitch. Shut the fuck up. Comments are like, bitch, you don't know anything about law. You obviously don't know sarcasm. They're not. Look at what they're saying. Blah, 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 blah. After the eighth comment, comments were shut off.
Well, more news as this develops.
With that. Yeah, I don't know. They're either going to go back to the original agreement. They're going to have to go back to the original agreement because Hasbro bought Wizards of the Coast. They're getting greedy. It's getting ridiculous. I just want to buy six books from Cobalt Press because what they did was they updated six Greyhawk Adventures for 5th edition. I just want to get them before they stop making them. The only problem is it's going to take me a few months to get them. But anyway, yes, yes, bring them forth. We go to... yes, the intern bots are happy. I got them nice blue and gold trim robes to wear. Okay, yes, yes, you're all happy. Yes. Once, all right, stop twirling. This isn't a fashion show. All right, all right, all right. All right. We go to the tomb from the tome. The tome from the tomb. Damn it, I said it bad. I had to write the phone. We go to the tome from the tomb. Damn it. I got an ear infection. Leave me alone. Go ahead, have a drink. I screwed up. No, that one's on you. That one's on me. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All right. So, wait, well, hold on. Let me check, make sure I didn't get logged out. God damn it, I got logged out. Double whammy. Holy shit. That's right. Drink it. Hang on. Yeah, drink a quadruple on me. Oh, fucking Happy New Year. Anyway, hold on. What's going on here? I got to log back. All right. But I'm sure, everybody's bringing up Critical Role. It's like, I'm sure they have a plan in place. You know, it's not like they're flipping out, going, oh, my God, blah, 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 blah. Just relax. They have a plan. Don't worry about them. They're okay. I can tell he's got a plan in place. You know why?
Why?
Because right after the announcement, now remember, some of the gods in their game system are based off Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on where some of the Pantheon can be killed off. I bet you they're going to be the ones that are associated with D&D. And they can... That's what a lot of people said. I bet everything associated with D&D is going to be wiped out in the world. And remember now, Friday, the Legends of Vox Machina, their animated series, kicks off. A lot of the terminology and things associated with D&D have been switched. So, and there's a character, I think they said from the campaign, that isn't in there anymore. So there you go. All right. Ooh, just catching a breath. Okay. So that being said, oh, this is a clever character. Behind us, we have an orc Estra conductor. A snazzy dressed orc. Okay, so our first, we go to the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. May none of your arch nemesis be in this book. Okay, first off, this is an enemy of Magno and Davy. This is from the Golden Age, by the way. Created by Paul Chadwick and Jim Mooney. Debuted in Super Mystery Comics number 5 of Ace Magazines, December 1940. Not to be confused with all the other clowns in comic books. The quote, "You dare defy the clown? Strike me if you dare. Put up or shut up." The name of this villain? Quite original. Clown. Okay. Comic books have always loved the clown supervillain. Something about the contrast of pure evil and comical figure resonates with the inherent irony of the medium and has ensured a constant parade of face-painted perils. It helps that Batman's chief foe, the Joker, swept the imagination of comics' young audience and inspired a raft of imitators like Green Arrow's white-faced foe, Bullseye. One of the most prominent laugh-alikes was the clown, a balding, yellow-clad figure who repeatedly tackled the supremely powerful superhero Magno, master of magnetism, and his less gloriously dubbed sidekick Davy. Leering and quick to kill, the clown made for a terrifying foe. Described as a sabotage expert, extraordinary, who emerged from the blackest maw of the evil earth, his ominous superlatives paint only half the picture. The most alarming thing about the clown was his unpredictability. In any given appearance, his loyalties, weapons, and modus operandi might change drastically. Appropriately enough, the clown was anarchic and impossible to predict. On some occasions, he was a simple gangster. In other adventures, he signed on to the Axis cause and directly served Hitler. In the latter case, he continually had problems with criminal underlings who drew the line at treason. Every single one seemed to have a younger brother serving in the military overseas. More varied than his allegiances were his weapons, a quote-unquote touch of death, which was a deadly electric charge delivered through wiring hidden in his blouse, a quote-unquote fourth dimension machine, which allowed him to become a giant, some kind of spontaneously combusting material that even he puzzled at, a hypnosis device that lured Davy into attempting to kill Magno, mind-controlling zombie fluid, degravitating solvent, a deadly drill-tip vehicle, and many more. Perhaps it was the matter of his mercurial goals and tactics. But the clown never succeeded in his schemes to serve the Axis powers or control the criminal underworld. But he had a proud legacy in being one of the long-running clown-themed villains of comics, repeating his feud with Magno and Davy dozens of times across multiple titles. Well, there you go.
There you go.
It's good to know he lasted so long. I mean, usually we hear these guys last on one or two issues. You know, he lasted a while.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what you need. That's what you need. You need a. That's what you need, man. You need a clown. That's it, man. That's what we're gonna do for you. We're gonna give you a clown, Arch. We're gonna give you a clown villain to fight. Okay, what's going on here? Hold on, man. Hold on. Man. Oh, good Lord. Okay. Here we go. Okay, this goes to the Silver Age now. I don't know. Oh, my God. Okay, this one is an enemy of Stumbo the Giant, created by Warren Kremer. Debuted in Devil Kids, starring Hot Stuff, number 23 of Harvey Comics in March 1966. Notable accomplishment, giving Cesspool a bad name. His quote, "Oh, how I hate giants."
Yeah.
It's none other than Dr. Cesspool.
Cesspool.
Yeah, that's right. Dr. Cesspool. Yeah, I swear. You have to admire a bad guy who's willing to punch above his weight class. Sure, villains may be vile, wretched, and bent on destroying all that's good in the world, but at least they reach for the stars. In the case of Dr. Cesspool, if he couldn't reach the stars, his opponent probably could. The object of the doctor's fury was giants, and no giant bore the brunt of his attacks more than attacks more often than Stumbo the Giant, that laid back Rob Dinganian of innumerable backups and assorted Harvey Comics kid-friendly titles. Stumbo was the appointed protector of Tiny Town. Well, it was tiny to Stumbo anyway. Though he possessed tremendous strength, Stumbo was naturally bucolic and an unlikely target for a mad scientist with a vendetta. "How I loathe giants," Dr. Cesspool explains to no one in particular. He bemoans that giants are physically powerful while he's so puny. On one occasion, he expounds that he especially loathes Stumbo because he's so powerful and the fact that the tiny towners like him so. Cesspool is a master of disguise, which is fortunate because his regular face looks like a mouthful of broken chiclets turned inside out and rolled in wet dough. Well, that's a horrible thing to say.
Really?
But his off-putting appearance is never explicitly addressed as one of his motives. He just really has it in for giants. Over the course of their conflicts, Cesspool creates a formula that makes Stumbo too bashful to speak or interact with Tiny Town. Rockets him into outer space, uses hypnosis to make him dress in ridiculous clothing, well, more ridiculous than his usual outfit, turns Tiny Town invisible, leaving its residents vulnerable to Stumbo accidentally crushing them, employs a taking and placing ray to accuse him of theft, and activates a force ray intended to cause a giant to reflexively kick his home to pieces. None of these schemes pay off, whether because of Stumbo's resilience, the easygoing nature of the Tiny Towners, or a flaw in Cesspool's plans. He comes closest to destroying Stumbo with a ray capable of changing the giant's shape. Cesspool distorts Stumbo's body, elongating his legs, shrinking his head, and generally subjecting him to an array of terrifying transformations. Naturally, Stumbo frees himself from the body horror, ending another scheme. But since Stumbo is too peaceful to subject Cesspool to any punishment, there's always the opportunity for the giant-hating mad scientist to try again.
Try again.
That's right.
And again, when you say Harvey, it's like, you have to remember, Harvey Comics, that's Casper, that's Baby
Hot
Huey.
Stuff, that's Wendy the Witch. Wendy the Witch, Richie Rich, that's Baby Huey. What was the Baby Huey?
Baby Huey. We're not talking complicated plots.
This was Sad Sack. This was simplistic comics that I read as a 2-year-old, like a 4-year-old. These are comics you give to a kid who's just learning to read, you know, just before they start reading Marvel and DC. So, one second, I got one more to read. I just got to jump here. All right, our last entry tonight. Sorry, it is in the modern age. Okay, this one is an enemy of Toy Boy, created by Carrie Bates and Trevor Von Eden. You probably heard of this one. Yes, yes. Okay. Debuted in Toy Boy number 5 of Continuity Comics in June 1988. Accredited by the University of Insane Scientists. Of course it was. The quote, "You fight in vain because as always, you are stupid." Well, let's be blunt about it.
There
the villain, Dr. Mechman.
Oh, God.
Okay. Nostalgia can be a terrible weapon. In the case of an assault on a rocket-launching facility within the pages of Continuity Comics' Toy Boy, it can be so in a very literal sense. Brilliant young inventor Jason Crater, the eponymous pre-adolescent hero of Toy Boy, finds himself in dire circumstances when he is recruited by super spy John Shane to investigate strange doings at Cape Canaveral as a hijacked rocket launches stolen Strategic Defense Initiative components into orbit. We learn that the command center has been overrun by robots. In fact, they're familiar-looking robots. A star-studded selection of mostly old-time movie stars appears to have taken over the base. Among them, Alfred Hitchcock, Marilyn Monroe, W.C. Fields, Humphrey Bogart, James Cagney, the Three Stooges, and more. The android insurgents turns out to be the work of Dr. Zeinreich, or, occasionally, Adolf Mechman, robotics genius and rogue scientist. "He's our tech commander of subversive activities overseas," explains the presidential aide to a concerned Ronald Reagan. "He is also a brilliant man with a list of scientific achievements." Thank goodness. You'd hate to have someone with no scientific achievements running subversive activities overseas. Of course. Why the brilliant Mechman chose celebrity likenesses for his henchstroid is never quite explained. But his motivation is. He released the story of his youngest son, Todd, disappearing in Laos on a secret mission for the United States government. With Todd evidently taken prisoner, Mechman is frustrated by a wall of silence erected around the young man's disappearance. Mechman blasts the Washington Monument with space lasers, if only to show the government that he's serious about mounting a rescue for his son. Toy Boy finds himself paralyzed with indecision. He just can't bring himself to fight Mechman's android army. They look so lifelike, he finds himself thinking, tears welling in his eyes. So familiar. For a little kid, he sure has watched a lot of old movies. But what Toy Boy can't accomplish, his own equally lifelike robot aides do. Infiltrating the command center, they literally pull the plug on Mechman, revealing that he was only a robot. Of course, the real Mechman is wandering around somewhere. With his plans foiled, however, he seems to disappear into the woodwork.
I'm calling shenanigans on this one.
Why?
I call shenanigans on
the book.
Well, no. Do you remember Red Dwarf?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Do you remember when they went to the museum planet?
I believe so. What season was that?
Okay, it was before Kaczynski came on.
Okay, hold on. To be fair, this comic book came out in 1988. Red Dwarf didn't come out till like 89.
Okay, all right. So, I will retract my shenanigans.
Yeah. Unless it came out sooner than that. I don't think it came out till 89. I remember watching Red Dwarf on Channel 21, local TV, local public access in 1990 when it first came out. So, yeah, you're going to have to do a little better than that.
Because I'm going like, this sounds familiar.
Right, but unless they copied it from that, going, oh, no one's ever going to read this. Yeah, Red Dwarf came out in 1988. Wait a minute. Red Dwarf came out in 1988.
But yeah, it wasn't the first season,
though. That was season one. Season one came out in season one. So I think, I think Red Dwarf stole from them. Or mere coincidence. So, yeah.
But I'm going like, I remember Rimmer's Army having Laurel Hardy, Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, there's a couple of artists that were there. Gandhi. And he's training them all to be killers.
That's funny. I still have to finish watching the newer seasons. I just finished watching when they came to Earth and they found out that they were actually a TV show.
Yep.
I just finished watching that one.
Yeah, but as for the rest of the night, I'm actually going to take the night off from doing the Greatest Generation podcast tonight. I didn't get enough sleep.
It's okay. Well, we got 5 minutes left. I want to ask your opinion on this. Maybe you can pass on to Alto. And okay, so here's the deal. We're looking for more players for the D&D campaign. It's going to be based on 5th edition. We're going to play in Greyhawk. It's going to be based on the Red Book campaign, like the early years. It's not going to be set after the Greyhawk Wars. It's not going to be – I was never a fan of the Greyhawk War. Here's why. Okay, here's my take on that, if you know the Greyhawk Wars. Mm-hmm. The Red Books to me are like – we're going to, in terms of Star Wars. The Red Book, the World of Greyhawk box set, to me, that's like the original Star Wars trilogy. It's really cool. I like that. The Greyhawk Wars in time, it's like the time period when they did the prequel trilogy. We have to update Greyhawk. What should we do? Like, why? Why did you do this? And they put out this thing called Greyhawk Wars, and it was a box set where – oh, if you want to, and we all bought it. It was like, oh, we can do these stupid tabletop war games that look absolutely stupid. And the funny thing was, the good guys won in our games, right? And then they put out From the Ashes. Well, some of the bad guys won. It was like, oh. So even though we won, you know, the heroes won, it had no fucking bearing on the box that came out. So you know what we did? We chipped in. We bought an extra set just because of our anger. And we made – somebody did like a video, not on a video thing. And we burned it. Just because – fuck you, I think it was the Wizards of the Coast of TSR. It was like, fuck you, this is what we think of it. And it was one of those things, oh, we did it at a hobby store. We did it at night. And they said, really? And I was like, yeah, we're going to do it. It's like, if you're going to film it, I'll let you burn it in a trash can. And they were cracking up. It was like, because it has no bearing on From the Ashes. And then From the Ashes came out. It was like, and it was a dark period for Greyhawk. And that represents the ending of the original trilogy. Right? And then it's like, you know, and Wizards of the Coast, like, you know, we really got to update things. And then they put out The Adventure Begins, or, you know, and they said, oh, let's update things. And I have all the box. I have almost all that stuff. And that reminds me of what the new trilogy is supposed to be. You know, let's end everything on a high note. Don't sing. I told you not to do that, damn it. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, what the fuck is the point? It's just more of a mess. You know, it's just like, I just want to go back in time to the beginning and make sure none of this shit ever happens. You know, and I have plans for a campaign. You know, just like, you know, I have a book of things and I want to get these other modules to play along the way and just make sure shit doesn't fucking happen. Yeah, and it's just, holy shit, it's just, but this is what I want to know from you guys. Do you think, and this is what we've done in other campaigns, do you think we should start a true level one? Like, a lot of times people write up there, like when you back, we have 90 seconds left, so really quickly.
Yeah.
All right, glad to be back to 2023. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Without you, me and Mad Viking are going to do what we're just doing now, what we're doing right now, just talking amongst ourselves really quick. I have a feeling we're going to carry this conversation to the after party, which we might do.
Like I said, I'm planning to hit the stack. I am zonking out.
It'll take like 3 minutes, this conversation I have with you. It'll just take a few minutes because I'm tired too. Read those comic books, read those superhero novels, watch those TV shows and superhero movies. Like I said, Black Adam is available on, what channel is it on? Disney Plus. No, HBO Max. Sorry, Black Adam's on HBO Max. February 1st, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever is coming to Disney Plus. That's what I want to say. And check out all the cool shows that are on streaming, yada, yada, yada. We'll see you next Monday night. Anything you'd like to say in closing, sir?
Let's help Joe Daddy with his situation and say goodnight, Gracie.
Yes. Goodnight, Gracie, and help go Joe Daddy. Yes, thank you. Like what you said. Sorry. My ear's killing me. Sorry about that. Thank you, everybody. You guys rock. We love you all. We'll see you next week. And embrace the, wait, is it still Dawn Radio?
Yeah.
There's wow.
Show tonight. I'm going to.
But it's still Dawn Radio. Embrace the Dawn.
Yeah.
Dawn Radio. Fritz. And the horse Fritz and whatever and the link and, you know. We'll see you next week and stay tuned. I'll be around for Monday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night and all the good stuff. And stay tuned for news about the Fast and the Furious races coming up and D&D. And there'll be all champions playing D&D. And try and make character and join us. We'll do a zero session making characters and finishing them up and all that good stuff. Have a good night, everybody. See you next week. Okay, we're in the airport. Really quickly, because this is what we used to do. Like, some groups will say, like, when you make a character and you write your background, right? Sometimes, because the low levels, you don't need much experience points to go up on levels, right?
Right.
So, should we start with a couple levels of third level, or?
Well, let's get with Alto on that one.
Okay, well, wait.
Yeah.
I forget. Somebody made a kobold, and I don't know if I wrote his name down in my book. I don't even know if he's still interested in playing.
I don't know. Well, like I said, I'm going to
hit
a sec.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go clean up the kitchen and relax. I'm tired.
All right.
I'm going to take this headset off. My ears kill me. All right. Good show tonight. Thank you. And I will talk to you during the week. I'll see you Wednesday night, if anything.
Okay.
Have a good one. Let me get back. I just lost the link. I just lost the page for the show. All right. I'm ending the show. Have a good night.
Night.
Thank you for co-hosting as usual, sir. Thank you. Have a good night. 3, 2, 1. Ending the show now. Good night.